because we have a discussion on democracy and the voices of young people in that democracy, and we welcome you to the conversation this morning. To foster a more inclusive democracy that truly reflects the diverse needs of our population, we must empower young voters. This is crucial not only because they hold significant sway in upcoming elections. Voters aged 18 to 34 will represent over 40 million potential votes this year, accounting for nearly one-fifth of the American electorate. But also due to their unique perspectives and backgrounds as the future leaders of our nation, the voices of young voters are essential in shaping the direction of our society. To explore this topic to the fullest this morning, we welcome Professor and Chair of Political Science from Hartwick College, Laurel Elder. Laurel is a regular on our program and co-director of the Institute of Public Service, along with Professor of Sociology, Zachary McKinney, who joins us with two of their students. Thank you very much, both Zachary and Laurel. I appreciate you both being here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Big fan of the show and thrilled to be appearing on.
It's really nice to have you aboard. Thank you so much. Let me introduce our students this morning. Zach Corbett is here. He will graduate in 2027. So that makes you a sophomore?
It does.
Okay. Excellent. And political science major, active in student government, serves as a chief justice. What does that mean?
Chief Justice, pretty much we hold judicial hearings to hold our peers accountable for their breaches of the student code of conduct.
Excellent. Are there a lot of breaches?
There are a lot of breaches.
Oh, all right. Amelia Williams is a political science and psychology double major, public service intern, assistant, a leader in campus government, student governor, vice president, and in getting the campus engaged in politics. She has been an election night reporter, attended and helped out at Oneonta city government meetings, created TikToks to inspire her peers to register and vote, and much, much more. So you're a junior.
I am.
Yeah. Congratulations, and it's wonderful to have you aboard as well. Thank you very much for being here.
Really great to be here. I'm really excited.
All right. Thank you very much. So the mics are not on, I'm told.
Oh.
All right. Okay. I think mics may be on now. Is that true? Hi, Laurel.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Look at
so,
that.
Okay.
I thought it was my headphones, and no, it
so
wasn't.
So none of that?
No, but that's all right. I mean, it's it's just professional radio. Don't worry about it. What did you just call them that you oversee what?
Judicial hearings, where we hold other students, our peers, accountable for their breaches in the student code of conduct.
Yeah, so breaches.
Yeah.
That's what we just had, a breach.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a breach. And you should have been in charge of that. Okay. Really nice to have you all here. Thank you very much. So if you're hearing us for the first time, Laurel Elder is here, Zachary McKinney, Zach Corbett, and Amelia Williams, and we thank you all for being with us. All right. So let us talk with Laurel and Zach McKinney first about this Institute of Public Service and why such an institute is so important.
Yeah, well, Zach and I and our third co-director, Matt Chick, who is actually in Albany with a group of more Hartwick students learning about New York State government, we kicked off this institute a little over a year ago, and our goals really were to get young people engaged in our democracy. And that's been a struggle recently because politics is very negative and polarized. And so we are doing a lot of programming to get young people to see that politics and being involved in democracy can be fun. And then we're also trying to prepare and inspire a new generation of public servants.
Excellent. that great?
Yeah, and the only thing that I think I would add to Professor Elder's comments is that we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan regional political institute, and we really have just a couple of key thematic areas where we're working here, including state and local government, civic engagement, and a robust legal education and preparedness for our students as well, too. But yeah, I think the ultimate goal, as Professor Elder pointed out, was really to try and inspire the next generation of public servants.
So how hard of a sell is that for, we'll ask these two students, the ones that you've got into your lair. But let us ask about how hard a sell that is for students on the campus of Hartwick College.
Personally, I feel as though, you know, involvement is really important right now in college, and this provides a perfect opportunity for me with my political interests. I think we should have, you know, every facet of Hartwick should have something like this, where this interest from students can be like turned into like involvement with the community and bringing out students, because we're seeing a lot of, you know, a lack of involvement overall.
What, now you're running for?
I'm running for mayor of the village of Otigo.
And what is, what brought you to want to do that?
So it's a very small community and word goes around very easily. So Dawn Kroll, who works at Hartwick actually, made me aware of this opportunity. Her husband is the mayor. And he said he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's been mayor for 20-something years. And I figured...
he's burnt out.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured that a younger person should become involved and, you know, offer a new perspective. And especially going to these meetings, these village meetings, I see that it's a lot of older white men going there and attending and, like, on the board of trustees and the mayor. So I figure a new perspective could be really beneficial.
And the election is next year.
Yes, beginning of next year.
And then you would run, as of now, you're running unopposed.
As far as I know.
And that could change. But
it could change, yeah.
Yeah. And, but then if you win, youngest mayor ever?
Possibly. I turned 18 in August. It could possibly be.
You turned 18 in August.
I did.
Oh, you did. Well, this is amazing. and what is it that you think, oh, okay, this is what I have to provide the people of Otigo?
Honestly, I think just perspective. I'm, you know, as I said, Ernie's been mayor for 20-something years. It's a lot of older people. It's a small community, so there's not a lot of other people turning out to be these public servants. So I think a younger person especially having that drive to be a public servant could, you know, offer a lot of the view of the younger generation.
So let me get back, and I promise I will get to you, Amelia, in just a second. but Zachary and for the purposes of this conversation, you're Zachary, Professor Zachary, and student Zach.
No. Sounds good.
Just not to confuse me or the listeners. But for Laurel and Zachary, the how hard a sell is this in getting students involved and wanting them to be a part of the program?
Yeah, I think one thing that we try and do within the Institute, and one of the key reasons why we focus on state and local government in particular, is in some ways to kind of lower the temperature on politics. You know, I think if we look at this in the federal level, we look at how hyperpartisan that politics has become. You know, we look at the level of vitriol sometimes that gets expressed towards your political opponents. But by focusing in really on the state and local, I think it gives students a very different perspective. And what they're able to see there is that, you know, you really have individuals that are willing to cross the aisle. They're willing to work together in order to get things done. And they're much more responsive to the needs of their constituents. So we really try and, you know, provide our students with opportunities to participate locally. We have lunches monthly with the mayor of Oneonta, as well as the common council members that represent our students at Hartwick College. We regularly host debates for Oneonta Common Council, as well as the Otsego County Board of Representatives. And we constantly invite these folks to campus to speak in our classes and to speak with students. And so I think that by seeing that, it makes students less reluctant in many ways to get involved in politics at this level.
Amelia, many students go into college and say, I don't know what I want to major in. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I have no idea. How sure were you when you went in and as I mentioned in the introduction, a political science and psychology double major, at what point did that start to evolve in your mind?
Funny enough, I entered college as solely a psychology major, no interest in political science whatsoever. Freshman year, I took a intro political science class piqued my interest. And then I had an opportunity to interact with the political science department on a deeper level. And then I added political science as a minor at first. And then the last semester of my freshman year, I added it as a major. So, yeah.
What was it about the subject that lured you in to want it to be a major and for you to explore it further?
For me, I'm a big advocate for everything that I'm passionate in. And the class that I was taking in particular dealt with communicating across the political partisan divide. And I found it very refreshing how we were able to have conversations with everyone having different perspectives and not, you know, it end up in a brawl. And I wanted to explore that a little bit more and also encourage other people to engage in these discussions without, you know, it ending in a fight.
And I ask this actually as a serious question, but I mean, have there been fights? I mean, do you see this where it can rise to that level?
I think people are very passionate about what they believe in, and when someone of the opposing view, you know, they feel attacked by that,
right.
It does get pretty heated. I've been in a heated situation before.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, we see that all around us, so it's not surprising, but
yeah.
It is interesting. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this incredible discussion and talk about Hartwick College and this program, fostering democracy amongst young people and having them be part of our system. We'll take a break, and then we'll go to some fundraising, and then we will be back with all of our guests right after this.
1-800-323-9262. I'm Sarah LaDuke here with Ray Graff for just a few minutes.
Okay.
To remind you that we are trying to fill the WAMC lockbox to shorten the full fund drive, which begins next Monday, a week from today. 800-323-9262 or online at WAMC.org. We want to get back momentarily to the special roundtable conversation that is happening in Studio A right now. But in the meantime, we would love to hear from you. 800-323-9262. And then we'll be back for an extended break at the end of the program to tell you over and over again why you need to support the station, or why we hope you will, rather.
Well, it does sound like a broken record at times, but this is where we live, and you know this is where we live. Many of you have been members for 40-plus years.
It's incredible.
And, you know, the loyalty to this station, it blows our mind again and again and again. We thank people we have thanked them every fund drive, every time. Not asking you to pledge every fund drive, but if you haven't made a pledge yet in a fund drive and you listen, we sure could use your help right now. 800-323-9262. Only a couple minutes and we'll go back to the roundtable. 800-323-9262.
Thanks to Audrey in Niskayuna, New York, and to Carol in Petersham, Mass., who is a sustaining member. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. We have raised so far in the lockbox $332,486. That is a lot of money. Any way that you slice it, it's an incredible outpouring of generosity from our listeners. But the total we need to raise before this fund drive cycle is over is $1.25 million. So
right.
We have a long way to go, and we need you to help us as soon as you can, please.
Right, you are. And the thing is, you have already shaved off 2 or 3 days off the fund drive by what you have done. So let's keep that going this week and really, really cut some time off. We just need you to go and make a pledge. Can be $5, can be $50, can be $5,000, whatever you are comfortable with. And the number is 800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. And Sarah LaDuke, when we go back to the roundtable in a minute or two, everybody out there who hasn't pledged, we're still open for business. Call 800-323-9262 or pledge online, WAMC.org.
It's very easy to call and support the station. It's very easy to go online and to support the station, whichever method you prefer. If you would like to, you know, have a little chat with another human on the other end of a phone line,
right.
We can offer you that. If you prefer to deal with the robots, no, just right. The internet and forms.
I mean,
that's
to be
fine
fair,
too.
Peter Hughes is something of a robot.
Something in between.
Oh, there is your phone ringing? Nanu, Beep Borpop. Nanu. There
Beep
he is.
Borpop. Nanu, Nanu. That's not robots. It's aliens.
Whatever. You kids 800... and your TV shows.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy, straight out of my era.
800-323-9262. WAMC.org. We're going to go back to the roundtable panel. The kids are interesting.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out more about them and their views coming
Imagine
up.
Being 18 and giving up a morning, I think of their fall break.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being 18, so you can stop right there.
To give up time from their morning to discuss, you know, civic engagement on a public radio station. Yeah. It's pretty special.
Absolutely.
1-800-323-9262 or online, as we've mentioned, at WAMC.org. Whomever just called is speaking with Peter Hughes, manager of the Linda. Very cool.
Right.
800-323-9262.
All right. So when are we handing it back to Joe?
In
over
15 seconds.
We can't really. I can't see him over there.
That's all right.
Oh, there he is, Joe. That's not a polite gesture.
Oh goodness.
800-323.
I'm sure he waved. Only.
We can see his hand anyway. 800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262. Ray and I will be back in about 15 minutes to talk for a while. But until then, please enjoy this panel discussion from Studio
Pledge,
A.
Pledge.
Thank you very much, Ray and Sarah. Yes, the kids are all right. It's all good. Thank you very much. Two students with us this morning and two professors, all from Hartwick College in Oneonta. And we're very lucky to have them here as a group. Zach Corbett and Amelia Williams join us as the students. Laurel Elder and Zachary McKinney are the co-directors of the Institute of Public Service at Hartwick College. So Zach, if I'm doing my math correct, then after turning 18 in August, this will be the first time that you get to cast a vote in a presidential election.
Yeah.
Or any election.
Yes, and it's much more interesting than if it were Trump v. Biden. I'm glad that things mixed up a little bit.
So, what is now? I don't have. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But a lot of people your age don't go to the polls. They have no interest in going to the polls. They feel that they are out of the system. That their views are not expressed, as you talked about in regards to the position that you are seeking in the village of which you live. But at what point do you say, okay, so a lot of people are just like, this is nuts, I don't want any part of it, to go where you're going and saying, not only am I going to vote, but I'm going to be a part of the process?
I mean, we do voter registration outside of our cafeteria at Hartwick, and we try to get all the people going by to register to vote, you know, set up a voting plan. A lot of people just don't take that. They just say no thank you, like we're trying to sell them something, and they'll just walk by us or ignore us.
And I got siding.
Yeah. I try to talk to people and say, you know, you should get involved in something at least. But a lot of people just feel very disassociated from the entire experience.
Which you understand, Amelia, right? I mean, yeah. It all makes sense because there isn't a whole lot there for young people to attach themselves to.
Yeah, but I think what the new direction that we've been seeing, and it's maybe because I'm so enthralled in political science, but we've seen that young people are realizing that the only way in is to actually step foot inside the door.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen a lot of engagement grow. People, which is what I'm trying to do, is reach people at where they're at, you know, making TikToks and like engaging people on social media, et cetera, et cetera, because this is where young people are. So making them realize that, you know, it's not as scary as we've been taught or we've seen in the past.
So give me an example of a TikTok that you've made and the reaction that you get from it.
So recently I made a TikTok with one of my friends, Sarah. She's also an intern for the Institute of Public Service. And we were talking about voter registration, but we made a sound that was like, I can't wait for this to be over. And we put the date of when the election was and saying it would be over on that date. And people were liking it. We got like 1,000 hits or probably even more by now.
Hell, I would have liked that.
And it's a trend, too. Yeah, right? They lean into the trends that are going on TikTok and social media. So, I mean, when they've made some TikToks and they've shown them to myself and my co-directors, and we're like, we don't get this. We have no idea what you're talking about. And we're like, and that's probably good. Because the point is, like, but I showed it to my 14-year-old daughter, and she was like, that's amazing. That is so amazing. And yeah. So it's like, we can't have, like, the old people trying to mobilize the young people. Like, the young people, it's like they have their own language. They have their things they care about. And it's much more effective if, like, young people are mobilizing each other.
So here are two observations that I have made from my personal life. And I would like to ask the two of you, the students, and then I would like to go to the directors for a moment for the second observation. The first observation that I made is that I have an 18-year-old niece. She just turned 18. She's at the University of South Carolina. And she, so I went down to visit her about two weekends ago in South Carolina. And I said, how often does politics come up? And she said, in our suite, we all vowed we weren't going to talk about it because we want to remain friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets into what you were saying of the vitriol that can come of it. And I was taken aback by that because I see the point. I really understand the point. And yet, how do we get over that where we can talk about it and it doesn't mean that you have to find a new roommate?
I think one of the big aspects of that is realizing that talking about politics isn't talking about morals. Talking about politics is talking about how do we get to where we want to get at and still be friends at the end of the day. And I think that's where the discourse is we've been so sensitive to getting our feelings hurt or sensitive to feeling attacked by people just voicing their different opinions, whereas we should be embracing those and having those difficult, uncomfortable conversations because that's how we progress and change and grow.
And my niece, Katie, was saying that it's also very hard to extract it from the personal views of her suite mates from that of her parents, which is often difficult to do.
Yeah, I came from Otigo, where I grew up. It's a conservative area, and so all my friends, you know, held pretty conservative views. But I just took that as an opportunity. Maybe it was because I learned to do it young. I just took that as an opportunity to discuss with them and have dissenting opinions, but you know, we were still friends at the end of the day. Like,
right.
I think that it's very important to be able to have those conversations and not shut down or attack the other person. Just have, you know, meaningful conversations about what you believe in and come out at the end of the day still being able to be friends and not letting those opinions define who you are as a person. Just understanding that people are different and growing together from that.
Two election cycles ago, I was teaching, and I was at the College of St. Rose. May she rest in peace. And we had a student population there, and we had a group of journalism students, and there were about 15 kids who were really, really, really into the Bernie Sanders campaign, and they were all Bernie. Man, they were all mm-hmm. Bernie. They had the shirts, they had the stickers, they were going to town. Bernie had Bernie Sanders, Senator of Vermont, had a rally here in Albany, and they all worked the rally. They went down there. They were there at all hours of the night and the morning working on that rally. After the primary, I said, how many of you went out and voted? And three people said yes. I can't comprehend that. How do we make sense of that? I don't get it. I mean, one of the obvious things to me is that we make it difficult for kids to vote. That's one answer I have come up with. What other answers do the two of you have?
I mean, it's a very difficult and very disheartening question. You know, if you look at 2022 in New York, only 22.4% of eligible 18 to 24-year-olds ended up casting a ballot. So, you know, you're looking at a difference here of about 2.4 million votes that would have easily changed, you know, any statewide election. And so on the one hand, I think is certainly, as you mentioned, you know, we have made it hard for people to vote. We've made it especially hard for young people to vote, even though I will say that I think New York does a better job than many states.
Yes.
On the other hand, though, I think it's maybe about sort of communicating the power that young people have and communicating the power that they can wield over the political process. And it's also about showing them, I think, as both Amelia and Zach pointed out earlier, that, you know, they're really going, they're only going to be able to affect this type of change if they get their foot in the door. You know, the median age of the current House lawmakers is 57.9 years. The median age of the Senate is 65.3 years, whereas the median age of the U.S. population is 38.5 years. And so helping young people to get involved so that they can really make the changes that they want to see.
What do you think is, what's the excitement level? I'll ask both of you, but Amelia, what's the excitement level of this campaign going into it?
I think that people are very excited about the outcome of the election. I think they're excited about because I think a lot of young people are getting involved because of who the candidates are.
Yes.
And I think people will want to participate to see the outcome of that excitement and of what's been going on, because I think we've had such a buildup with, you know, it was Trump versus Biden, and then there was a low, sad period for a while there. And then Kamala came in and the hopes picked up and everyone got excited again. And I think people are excited to see the outcome of that. And actually, maybe that may want people to actually go out and vote so that they can see the outcome and participate in that change.
It is. And prior to Kamala Harris being eventually named as the candidate, what was your excitement of the campaign overall?
I was bored.
Yeah.
I was over it. So over it.
Would you have voted anyway?
I would have.
Yeah.
I don't think my peers would agree, but I would have, only because, you know.
Well, you're a political scientist.
Yeah. Yeah.
These two would
have. Informal requirement.
Would have had a, would have had a fit. And the, and you mentioned this, Zach, early on about the change in candidates, and so that had a, that had an impact for you too.
I really think it was a plot twist, honestly. You know, like it carried, like people were bored, like Amelia said, people were bored, and it was a plot twist. And you know, I think a lot of young people are riding that wave, especially when I talk to friends that I know that are women. They really, you know, favor Harris and just like want to be part of a movement of getting the first female president.
Well, and that's it, isn't it? I mean, that's really exciting. I also love that they consider Kamala Harris to be a young candidate. And in comparison to Biden and Trump, she certainly is. But while being 3 years older than me, I like that.
I'm with you.
It's like, okay, great. What do the two of you see the vibe of this election, sort of as you look at it?
Yeah, definitely the change in candidates was a, that was a game changer in terms of students. Students were just so over it, not interested. I mean, how long have Biden and Trump been on the political scene? And they right. just are so much older. But I will say that some things that we've been doing, we've been having these debate watching parties on campus, and a lot of students are coming who are not the political science, who are not the Amelia and Zachs, who are not political science majors. And I've had students just say, wow, I've never watched a debate before. That was actually really fun to watch it with a group of students. They said, I learned a lot. They felt like a lot more confident in terms of knowing who they wanted to vote for and knowing the issues. And I think one of the things we're trying to do is just show, and I think we as a society have forgotten this, like being involved in democracy, yeah, it's important as a citizen, but it should be a pleasurable experience. It should be fun. It's rewarding. And there's all sorts of research, and I've done some myself, that shows that participation begets more participation. And so going to a debate watch party and with a bunch of people and having fun watching a debate, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. And now I'm going to follow the news. And now I'm going to, it's not so scary to go out and vote.
We have about 2 minutes, but that idea of following the news and following the campaigns and following the, I mean, you have your basic information on the candidates, but then there's just all that goes on in a daily news cycle that you got to keep track of as well.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And, you know, one thing that we've tried to do at the Institute of Public Service just to kind of help our students be able to navigate this news cycle is we've actually partnered with our local newspaper, the Daily Star. And so we provide now free digital subscriptions to any Hartwick student that wants one. And so this is a great way, you know, for students to have a reliable source of information and also really to be able to follow those local news stories that, again, we feel like can kind of help turn the temperature down and hopefully get students excited about local and state offices.
And that's the difference, too, of a presidential election. Yes, that's one thing. But then you're interested in the local politics.
Yeah, I think the local politics, the scene for that is much different. I think it's much less partisan. I mean, like I said, Otigo is a very conservative village. But
it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democratic if you're trying to plow a road or buy a new snowplow.
Yeah, I think ultimately it doesn't matter on such a low level. But on the higher levels, it can definitely get volatile with how partisan it is.
Could you see yourself running, Amelia?
For president?
For anything.
Yes, Amelia for president.
I already won Amelia as president. But
I'm more interested in local government. I think that's where the real change, everyday change happens. I think that's where yes, voting for president is important. But like you said, people want their roads to be clean. People want, people want to know when the garbage truck is going to come. Like, that's the important stuff.
We talk about politics, and then we also talk about what's just important to us. But you're a young Black woman, and you have a woman on the ticket, the first woman of color who is running for president of this country. That must in and of itself be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, it's almost like a win for her is a win for all of us.
Right.
But it's also, she's not an anomaly, you know? She's just one of many Black women in Congress who are going to come up in Congress. She's paving the way for young girls who see her in that position and encourage them to step foot inside those doors where it's dominated by white old men.
Yes. Yes. Indeed. Well, I'll tell you, all four of you are very impressive, but I'm going to talk to the kids for just a moment.
I'm with you.
Zach Corbin is a political science major at Hartwick College. He's running for mayor of the village of Otigo in fall of 2025. We wish you all the best of luck in your run.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do good stuff. You're replacing Ernie? Is that what that
was? Ernie Kroll, okay. Yes.
Well, do you have Ernie's endorsement?
Oh yeah, I've talked to him multiple times.
Right. That's good. That's solid politics, and that's good. Amelia Williams is a political science and psychology double major. Best of luck to you and your efforts, and keep those TikToks coming.
Thank you. That's really
very, very cool. Of course, thanks to Laurel Elder and Zachary McKinney. I so appreciate your input and participation in their program today.
Yeah, we loved being here. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And be on the lookout for Zach and Amelia 2036.
Can't wait. Can't wait. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.